The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Once upon a time in Radioland, a towering man strode to a silver microphone and announced to the world these words.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am that announcer, and my name is Todd Wilkerson, and this is the show I announce.
I'm announcing it right now, in fact.
And you have a front row seat to history.
Here's Eric.
Why, thank you, Todd. Man, he knows how to choke a guy up. Hey, folks, every now and again on this program, I get to do something that is so much fun. I forget I'm technically that it's work. It's really not work. I get to talk about things that I consider as important as anything in the world. One of those things is liberty, American-style self-government, one of the most wonderful things humanity has ever achieved. And I get to talk about it with my friend, Oz Guinness, from whom I have stolen all my ideas on the subject. And I say that proudly. I'm thrilled that Oz has a brand new book out. It's called Last Call for Liberty. Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. And Oz is with us on the line right now. Oz, welcome to this program.
Thank you, Eric. Always great to be with you.
I'm excited to talk to you about this subject because, as you know, in large part because of you, I've become someone who regards this issue, this subject, as of paramount importance. So I guess my question would be, what do you say in this book that you didn't say in A Free People's Suicide? What is at stake in this book that you're talking about?
Well, both of us have written books on, you know, the notion that if you can keep it, sustainable freedom. We've both written on that. But in the debate that followed my book, A Free People's Suicide, I realized that Americans didn't really understand what freedom actually is. So I set about to write a checklist, and this book has 10 questions that Americans need to ask. And then as I wrote it, I realized the answers actually all go back to one of two directions. You either go back to 1776 and the American Revolution, which was decisively biblical, although not wholly, you get a very different view of freedom, or ideas that go back to 1789 and the French Revolution, the Enlightenment, and it says people like Nietzsche and Marcuse and Gramsci, and you have a very, very different view of freedom. And the trouble is much of the liberal left today is sometimes wittingly, often not wittingly, are espousing French revolutionary ideas, not American revolutionary ideas, and they will be disastrous. That's the idea in this book.
Well, let me ask you, when we talk about what happened in 1776, the American Revolution, the kind of freedom we're talking about there and not in the French Revolution, many people, they've criticized my book and me for asserting that American-style self-government is essentially a biblical idea. How do you answer that? If somebody says that's nonsense and they kind of conflate these ideas of liberty and push everything in this Enlightenment direction away from the Bible, how do you answer those critics?
Well, it definitely, historically, there's no question that it is a biblical idea, and it came through the Reformation. And America is decisively shaped by the Reformation, not by other European thinking. But my answer would be that was the Reformation thinking, with its roots in the Bible, is actually the highest and most realistic humanism the world's ever seen. And you don't find freedom apart from it. You take the notion, where do you ground freedom? What's this justification? You know, the Jews were distinctive. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, and later the Greeks, your land, they didn't have a high view of freedom. Behind the Greek notion was finally fate. for the Babylonians was the stars. And you think, well, that's ancient. What about today? Everyone talks about freedom. Well, if you look at atheism today, Spinoza, Marx, Freud, Watson, Skinner, Dawkins, Harris, Sam Harris's book, freedom is a fiction, an illusion. If you start and end with naturalistic science, you literally cannot ground freedom. And the only solid place where you can ground freedom is in the Jewish and the Christian scriptures, the Bible. So I'm not ashamed. Yes, it's biblical, but apart from that, you don't have a solid view of freedom. And that's only the beginning, where you ground it.
And so the founders understood this. You maintain that all of the founders understood this idea.
Well, I don't say they all understood the exact roots in the scripture, but you can see how historically they were shaped by it. But take Lord Acton's famous distinction. Is freedom the permission to do what you like, or is it the power to do what you ought? Well, the Bible and the founders were solidly in favor of the second. For example, freedom requires truth. Jesus says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But in the postmodern world, which is our world post-truth, there is only power. And you can see that the whole French Enlightenment and its heirs believe only in power. You take the Kavanaugh hearings and many other things today, it's only power. And that way is the end of freedom.
Well, it's interesting because we're seeing this played out dramatically. I mean, the Kavanaugh hearings was a dramatic illustration of what happens when you, in effect, call people out. I think that the blessing and the curse of Donald Trump is that he is unwilling to play patty cake, as I say, with people on the other side. He seems to go at them in a way that he forces them to come back at him. And before you know it, the gloves are off. You see where people stand. And what has happened is that because he fights the way he does, people are forced to do things which I think they always were willing to do but were able to get away with not doing, such as simply trying to shut down the processes that we have set in place. I mean, when the Senate was having their hearings, the first day was an orchestrated attempt to make chaos, to break things down, to kick the can down the road. I mean, it was just – it's something we've not seen. I've never seen anything like it. Then you had – you know, whether it's mobs or whether it's simply smaller groups of people, but kind of a bullying and intimidating, the kind of thing that says we don't care about process. We simply must win. If shrieking, screaming, whining, having a tantrum, whatever it is, the stakes are so high, we don't care about the process. We don't care about the rules. The rules are designed by a patriarchal, oppressive class interested in winning. We're going to win a different way. I mean, that's kind of what I'm taking away.
No, that's exactly right. That's a description of where we are now. But I would urge your listeners to think more deeply historically, because some of these ideas go back to people like Gramsci and the shift from Marx's idea of revolution in the streets to a revolution in the culture. And then in the 1960s, the people like Herbert Marcuse and what Rudi Dutschke called the long march through the institutions. In other words, to win the culture, you've got to win the world of the colleges, universities, the press, the media, entertainment. And 50 years later, because this is literally 50 years after he called for that, they won. And so that is where some of the roots of these things are. And their ideas are from 1789. Not 1776.
Right.
If they win completely, that's the end of the American experiment in freedom.
Right.
Now, I think another very key point was, even before Kavanaugh, the so-called resistance, you know, the resistance. In other words, before Trump won, they were ready with this. So they refused to accept the logic of a democratic election.
Right.
You can see with the unmasking of the FBI and the DOJ and things like that, they've been at it for quite a while,
yeah.
And if Hillary had won, we would never have known about it. So you're right. The Kavanaugh hearings have shown us a lot more. The face of it's becoming clearer. But the ideas go all the way back. And those who analyze where we are without looking down to the deep roots, I think is wrong. Even, say, the president, I'm not an anti-Trumper at all. I'm European, so I'm bipartisan. But when he talks about Make America Great Again,
yeah.
He's got to go on to say, what made it great in the first place.
Right.
And well, can the fundamental principles be restored?
That may fall to us to articulate those things. We're going to be right back, folks. I'm talking to my friend Oz Guinness. The new book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. Stick around.
Stay together all of the time.
You've wrestled with that issue for so long. You don't know who to talk to. You're too embarrassed to tell your friends or family what you're dealing with. You're even reluctant to talk to your pastor. I know. I was there too. But it got to a point that something had to change. And then I found Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling is a team of licensed Christian counselors who share your faith and will help you through your problem. They want to give you a free week just to try it out. You can begin a conversation when you're ready by text or phone, even video conferencing, from the comfort of your own home. And your first week is free. If it's not for you, you can cancel during your first week and not pay a dime. Why not give it a try? Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. Talk to someone who can help. Go right now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Let them help. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447. 800-519-0447. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Alvin, wake up. Wake up, Alvin. You know, I told you, my pillow, it's so successful at getting people to sleep that even by bringing it into the studio, you fell asleep.
I'm
telling you, get it out of the studio.
This is not
a place to sleep. If you want to sleep, sleep at home. Folks, this is what's happening with my pillow. It's so successful at getting people to sleep that it, I think, is dangerous. Anyway, the point is, if you want to go to sleep, Mike Lindell, the inventor of this dangerous, powerful thing called MyPillow, has a special offer for you, Eric Metaxas Show listeners. He's now offering you a buy one, get one free. Right now, if you're looking for a great night's sleep, it would be the perfect time. Call 800-978-3057. 800-978-3057. Use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or you go to MyPillow.com and use the code Eric or Eric Metaxas. But remember, these are powerful. You need to respect them, okay? MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric or Metaxas. Check it out.
Of a wave, it's like magic. Oh.
folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I think you could tell by the ELO music, right? You could tell. I have the great joy and honor of speaking with my friend Oz Guinness. The new book is Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. Oz, you were saying earlier that when the president says, make America great again, he needs to explain what made America great in the first place. Now, I think that many people have an intuitive sense of what he means, and that when he doesn't articulate it, it doesn't matter as much as you might say to most people who vote. But I think for the punditocracy, for the folks who make their living thinking and writing and in newsrooms and on blogs, they need to hear this. And it would be nice if he were able to give a speech along these lines. What ought he to say? I mean, if you have the editorial board of National Review and the Wall Street Journal and a number of others who have been rather solidly anti-Trump even till now, what might he say to help them understand what it was that made America great and why it's worth trying to restore those things?
Eric, it just so happens I'm speaking at the National Press Club tonight for a Trinity Forum evening conversation that's being picked up by C-SPAN and being live-streamed.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, the question is, say there were, I mean, the president talks about the economy and the military, both very important, but not compared with the ideas that made America great, and above all, the notions of freedom. So you take the earlier American motto, e pluribus unum. I've lived in D.C. now 30 years, heard immigration discussed, usually torn between talk of walls and then sanctuary cities and things like this. No one discusses civic education, the importance of the family, the importance of transmission. You know, I often say, e pluribus unum was very real. Out of many, one. In the 19th century, you could have taken a group and say, well, what's meant by that? They could have given you 6 or 10 things that were part of that, that every American should know. I sometimes go to colleges today, and I've often been with CEOs today, and said, take out a paper and write down what that means. And usually people can't get beyond one or two. And the fact is, civic education, this is part of the triumph of 1789, civic education was thrown out in the late 60s, early 70s. And Americans aren't now receiving any civic education. Of course, the assault on the family is equally important, and the undermining of transmission.
Well, I
that's
obviously
just one of the answers.
I was going to say, obviously, I couldn't agree more. This has become so important to me. As you know, my book, If You Can Keep It, which I dedicated to you, that book I wrote because I thought the things in this book are so basic. If we, the people, don't understand what's in that book, If You Can Keep It, how can we possibly call ourselves American? We've got to go back to these basics. And I agree with you, but you're right, and I've said this as well, that the spirit of 1789, which is the spirit of the 60s, wiped all of that out. And so for 50 years, we have ceased, not taught the kind of understanding of these things. So we have a couple of generations of Americans who don't understand these things. And so when you say make America great again, I think some of them have an intuitive sense. And I think in the president's defense, if you have economic prosperity, it enables you to bolster your freedom in these areas. It enables you to do a lot. Otherwise, you kind of sink into that gray socialist porridge. And you forget that some of these ideas work, but that's another story. What are some other things that we need to know?
Eric, I'm not disagreeing with him. I'm trying to push him further, and I've never met him. You have.
Oh no! I'm not saying you're disagreeing with him. No! I'm not saying you're disagreeing with him.
Try and push him deeper.
Yeah. No. There's no question.
You know, we're as deeply divided now as at any point prior to the Civil War. But the big difference is, then you had a Lincoln. And what Lincoln did was address the evils. I mean, he, for many decades, attacked the evil of slavery, but he addressed them in the light of the Declaration and what he called the better angels of the American nature.
Right.
And Martin Luther King called for the Declaration as a promissory note. But if you look at Colin Kaepernick and people like that, Black Lives Matter, and most of the movements today, they're against the very American experiment. Yeah. It is racist, sexist, hegemonic, all sorts of rude words. In other words, you don't have a Lincoln. And I've spoken twice in the Senate, you know, in the last month. And I say to them quite openly, whether 5 or 100, which of you will be like Lincoln addressing the present challenges in the light of the better angels? Because unless someone does, well, the big question, Eric, are the habits of the heart, Tocqueville's term, so eroded that the manner of living for Republicans with a small r is impossible? That's the question. I don't think it is yet. I'm an optimist. I'm hopeful. But it does need leadership, and it does need tackling certain areas like civic education.
I think, I mean, my goodness, I couldn't agree more. I really do think that the long march for the institutions, as you put it, that Marcuse and others fought for, that in fact that culture war was won, and that right now most of the media really don't have either a biblical or a true American understanding of things. They have been swept, overboard into the mob thinking of 1789. It's a really different worldview. But I still think that because of the free market and because of the willingness to fight of people like this president, we still have a chance to persuade people, to help people understand why this is wrong and that is right. I mean, I still think that we do have that opportunity. And I really think that we're all getting civics lessons. The Kavanaugh hearings were a great civics lesson for all of America. It was absolutely extraordinary, really, just to watch that play out.
But that wasn't the dominant lesson, was it? The dominant lesson was that fire needs to be used to fight fire, that we now have naked raw power, and the only way we can fight back is with more naked raw power, and so on. And that's absolutely disastrous. Now, you're right. I mean, Ben Sasse, in the first round of the hearings, gave 15 minutes on the character of the Congress compared with the Supreme Court, and it was 15 minutes of a brilliant civics education. But he didn't do it for the nation. And no one else so far has. And I grew up with Churchill. He was my prime minister as a boy. Well, he always seasoned every speech with an incredible perspective of history. And your framers had that. They knew the Rome. They knew Greece. I mean, Eric, you're a Greek. I don't even know how you pronounce it. The Peloponnesian War, the capital of Corfu, was it Corcyra?
The capital
of this discussion of is almost where we are today, when people started to criminalize their opponents and so on. And it ended in disaster. Yeah. So you've got these warnings in history. Take Weimar liberalism, the way decadence undermined itself and led to disaster.
Right.
And so on. We need leadership with history and a perspective as they address today. We don't have it at the moment.
No, we don't. We don't. I would agree with you. But I assume that I guess let me ask you, what do you think is happening in the Trump administration that is behaving in a way that's contrary to some of these foundational principles?
No, I hadn't said contrary. I said I pressed them deeper. I wish, for instance, you could explain. I mean, in psychology, it's a self-evident truth that everybody needs boundaries. You are Eric. You're not me. I'm myself and not you. We all need boundaries.
Right.
So do nations. And it'd be easy to explain this in terms of first principles of citizenship and so on and so on and so on, not just walls. But I would challenge leaders, whether it's the president, the vice president, whoever, to get the every time they make a policy decision, to explain it and interpret it in the light of the first principles of the American Republic. And then people begin to sit up, and the left would be more shown up by contrast. They'd be exposed.
Right. That's okay. Well,
somewhere around 1968. Sorry?
No, I'm getting it. Go ahead. Yeah.
Somewhere around 1968, there was a fatal lurch left. Up till then, even American intellectuals were liberal with a capital L, freedom over against the government, and so on. Somewhere around 1968, no exact, as Rudy Deutschke's called for the Long March, there was a lurch left, and on the left, America became chronically racist, sexist, and all the other dirty words. than it is today. And that whole narrative of cultural Marxism, neo-Marxism, has swept. I'm going to cut you off,
Oz. Forgive me. I want to pick up. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, I want to talk about cultural Marxism. Thank you, Oz. We'll be right back, folks, with Oz Guinness. You don't have to shout
all about you. Let's talk about your business for a minute. Think about all the things you're doing to attract the best talent. Between the networking events and referral bonuses, you're probably spending plenty of time and money to find the right people. But what if it was your office that attracted employees? Today's workforce is mobile and active, and they want an office designed around the way they work. And Varidesk makes it easy. Varidesk standing desk solutions help you create an active workspace where employees can stand and move so they're happier, healthier, and more productive. Our full line of active office products are constructed with commercial-grade materials and require little to no assembly, so they're easy to set up and move. Companies of any size can have a Varidesk active workspace. Ordering is simple. Shipping is free. And our 30-day guarantee means if you don't love it, we'll pick it up for free. Learn more about Varidesk active workspace solutions at varidesk.com/radio. That's varidesk.com/radio.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com. Not only do we have great grills, but also the best hot patio heaters. We are the nationwide distributor for Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters, the very best patio heater that you can get. The Bromic heaters use the same radiant burner technology as our Solaire infrared grills, so they heat up fast and keep you warm so you can enjoy your backyard grill and outdoor living spaces into the night and all year round. Bromic heaters have stylish contemporary designs that fit perfectly in backyard and restaurant patios. We have gas and electric models to suit most installation needs, and a portable gas heater that directs the heat where you want it, not the bushes and walls like the mushroom heaters. For top quality performance and aesthetics, you want Bromic Radiant Patio Heaters and Solaire Infrared Grills. Learn about these amazing grills and heaters at besthotgrill.com. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com.
Watch that train, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Oz Guinness. Oz, you were just making a point about cultural Marxism. I would be really grateful to you if you would help my audience and me understand what exactly is cultural Marxism. You say it began in 68 with Marcuse and that gang. What is it?
Well, it goes back earlier than that. You remember Marx called for a revolution in the streets through the so-called proletariat. In other words, a class conflict between the haves and the have-nots. It didn't work. Even the Russian Revolution wasn't that. In the 1920s, Antonio Gramsci, a Marxist, sat in jail for more than 20 years under Mussolini and figured out that Marx was wrong. You had to win the culture through what he called the gatekeepers and have hegemonic dominance. Now, in the 1960s, Marcuse developed a lot of that. In other words, they shifted from a class conflict rooted in economics, the haves and the have-nots, to a cultural conflict rooted in power. Those who are the majority and those minorities, those who are the power and those who are the oppressed. And everything is seen in terms of that. And you have people like Foucault analyzing the whole of life in terms of power. And, of course, no truth, only power coming from Nietzsche. So that's the general shift, a shift from class conflicts to cultural conflicts. And, of course, the whole society is fair game. You go into a room and you don't have a woman, you don't have a black person, you don't have this or that. We're not representative. And so it goes. And, I was reading a Christian commentator last night on USA Today. Her comments are just riddled with that neo-Marxist interpretation. I thought, my goodness, isn't she thinking Christianly?
Now, did you say this was on CNN or USA Today?
Yes.
Which one? Because USA Today, obviously.
Well, we need to go further, but commenting on both.
It's fascinating to me.
I'm not attacking particular people.
No. You didn't mention any names. I'm just curious where you heard this.
The rot is everywhere.
Well, this is I've been very disappointed in the evangelical left, so-called, because I think that many people who are professing Christians don't understand what you're talking about right now, how anytime you devolve to talking about groups in that way, it's effectively cultural Marxism. It has nothing to do with truth and foundational principles. It has everything to do with who's got the power, how many African Americans are in the group, how many women are in the group. And you think, my goodness, is that really what matters? You can have terrible people of any color, of any sex. So it really ought to be about our ideas. But many people, as I say, particularly on the left in the Christian world, have fallen prey to these terrible ideas.
Well, I think they're incredibly naive. In other words, when you come to things like human dignity, that's unique to the Bible. When you come to freedom, that's almost unique to the Bible. But when you move to justice, obviously there are different views of justice a whole lot. But there's a huge difference between the biblical view of justice and how you tackle injustice and the left-wing view. And far too many of our fellow Christians are incredibly naive. I had a parent phone me talking about his daughter at one of the leading, won't mention which, evangelical colleges. And the very first seminar she had was not on thinking Christianly, but on a questionnaire to see the power quotient in your life. I thought, oh my goodness, coming from this eminent Christian college, it's appalling. There's naivety. But once again, you've got ideas that go back to through the American Revolution, not perfect, but to the Bible, and ideas that are very dangerous came back to the French Revolution. You take the sexual revolution, it goes back through, not Hugh Hefner, he's almost irrelevant to the real roots of it, goes back through Wilhelm Reich, and then eventually back to people like the Marquis de Sade and Rousseau. And
when you it's a romantic, goes all the way back to the romantics, basically.
Yes, that's one of the huge differences. The biblical view of humanity, realistic. So you need separation of powers. Madison's 51st Federalist paper and so on, coming from John Witherspoon at Princeton. But Rousseau, man is born free, but everywhere is in chains. Remove a chain or two. So you read Wilhelm Reich. If we have 5 orgasms a week, we'll all be happy, free, and fulfilled. What incredible nonsense and highly dangerous.
Well, I should say so. It's just, it's madness. But, I mean, it's interesting because when you trace these ideas, you obviously see their different stages, right? I mean, Freud picks up on this. And so most people would go back as far as Freud and they would say he identifies the libido as everything, which is absolute madness. It's nonsense. But if the libido is everything, then all kinds of things follow. And we're still living 100 years later with this idea of sexual repression at the root of so many troubles. And, you know, the libertinism we see, the push for abortion, all of this comes out of a Freudian worldview that the libido is everything. We have to have sexual freedom. It's been so harmful. And we're now beginning to see the dark fruits of it. I mean, it's we're just beginning to see how it doesn't work. So I think we have a moment where we can, I guess we can make the case more easily than we might have done 20 years ago or 30 years ago, because we're beginning to see how it doesn't work. Forgive me, we're going to go to another break here. Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Oz Guinness. Please get a copy of his new book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. Very, very important. You may also pick up a copy of Oz's previous book on this subject, A Free People's Suicide. It was tremendously influential in my thinking, and I hope it will be in yours, too. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
So I give you that name, and I said goodbye. I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And it's that name that helped to make you strong. Yeah. He said, now you just fought one hell of a fight. And I know you hate me, and you got the right to kill me now. And I wouldn't blame you if you do.
Albin, I always talk about Relief Factor, but sometimes it's better to hear from somebody else. So today, we're going to hear from Anne. Here she is.
It has changed my life, is the only thing I can say. Been exercising for years. My shoulder is in bad, bad shape. It's swelling. It hurts. It goes numb during the night. Well, I heard about Relief Factor on the radio, and I'd been hearing testimonies for a couple of years, and I said, I'm going to order Relief Factor because I need help. I was sleeping sitting up for 5 years with pillows in my back, and now I'm sleeping flat on my back with one pillow.
This is amazing. I beg my relatives to take this. I was at a wedding recently. I'm begging them. I'm saying, look, you've got aches and pains. Take this. In 3 weeks, you'll know if it works for you. You're crazy not to try it. And by the way, it's cheap. Like, that's the whole idea. That's why it's, like, you know, sweeping the nation, because people can afford to take it.
Yes.
Go to ReliefFactor.com. Get the quick start pack for $19.99. Check it out. 3 weeks. ReliefFactor.com. Hey there, it's Eric Metaxas for Policy Genius. Here's an unfun fact. Over half of bankruptcies and mortgage foreclosures are caused by medical issues. That's because if you get sick or injured over the course of your career, your employer's sick leave often only covers you for up to 3 months. And while health insurance helps with medical bills, it doesn't replace lost income. That is where disability insurance comes in. It's essentially income insurance. It protects your paycheck if you're sidelined by an illness or injury. Policy Genius does all the shopping for you. They compare quotes from the top disability insurance companies to find the best price. Then their licensed experts manage the application process to save you time and hassle. Policy Genius has helped over 4 million people shop for insurance and placed over $20 billion in coverage. So if you rely on your income to get by, compare disability insurance quotes with PolicyGenius.com. We'll help you protect your paycheck at a price that makes sense. You can get started online right now. Policy Genius. The easy way to compare and buy disability insurance.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. And right now, listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/America. That's ZipRecruiter.com/America. One more time. To try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/America.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom. Just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses, or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Oh, the sun's gonna shine in my life once more. Love's gonna live here again. Things are gonna be the way they before. Love's gonna live here again.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas' show. I'm speaking to my friend, the author and thinker, Oz Guinness. His book is Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. Oz, let's unpack the subtitle, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. What do we mean by that?
Well, why is freedom so important? I would solidly support St. Augustine, who argued, don't understand a nation by the size of its population, or we would call today the GDP and GNP and that sort of thing, or the strength of its military. You understand it by what it loves supremely, his word. And there's no question that what America loves supremely is freedom, the land of the free and all that. But you can see that freedom is much trickier than people realize. Free societies never last. And there's a paradox of freedom. I've got one chapter on this. The greatest enemy of freedom is freedom. And there are various reasons for this. And even Eric Fromm argued that there's a certain tyranny in freedom and a freedom in tyranny. And eventually freedom often undermines itself, and you can see that's happening today in America. So the land of the free has more addictions, take the opioid crisis, more recovery groups than any other land in the modern world. Americans are simply not as free as they think, because freedom has been corrupted and perverted into license and permissiveness, and it's undermining itself.
And doesn't this get back to your term, your idea, the golden triangle of freedom, which I've been talking about endlessly since I discovered it through you? Of course, it's your coinage. It's your idea. But really, isn't that the point? In other words, that freedom requires virtue. Virtue requires faith. Faith requires freedom. Freedom without virtue, without the habits of the heart, without a culture that inculcates virtue in the young, that has that reminds itself of the importance of the institutions, of the family, and all these kinds of things. If you cease to have that, you cease to be able to be free.
No, absolutely. And with the publisher's permission, I've put one chapter in that one again that raises a question about sustainable freedom. And the trouble is today, most people are ignorant of that, and many openly oppose it because it comes from the American Revolution. And so Americans don't think, how do you sustain freedom without putting something better in its place? If you throw out the frameless answer, there's nothing. And then American freedom simply will not be sustainable. And that's the period we're in now, where freedom is beginning to undercut itself with the extremism and the insanity of so many of the things proposed. I mean, you were referring earlier almost to the hookup culture leading to people reacting against sex altogether. Well, it's an incredible teaching moment, because it was a freedom that had been perverted and corrupted and gone wrong.
Well, as I was saying in the previous segment, we're seeing things now that we haven't seen before. In other words, we have statistics, we have data, we have decades of people behaving in a certain way, and we can see the fruit. I mean, the divorce culture in the 70s, everyone was saying, I mean, it's these horrible, evil mantras of the culture, these cliches, you know, that if you're not happy with your spouse, I mean, you really need to move on, and you're not doing the kids any favor by arguing all the time. And, you know, you should have quality time with your kids. It's not about quantity time. So maybe they'll see you every other weekend or something like that. And everybody bought into this. And now we have the fruit. We have endless stories of people who they're smarting, they're hurting because they didn't have a father at home, because their parents didn't stay together. That narrative, it's only beginning to come forth. I mean, the narrative has only been that this is good, that you must do what you like, and that everybody's going to be helped if you do what you like. And you don't hear the stories of, well, we stayed together because of the kids. And you know what? We've been married now 50 years, and we're glad we did. We're glad we dodged a bullet, you know, in the late 70s when we might have broken up. We're glad that we stuck together. It was the right thing to do. You don't hear that very much.
No, you're absolutely right. This is a wonderful teaching moment, because I'm a great believer in contrast is the mother of clarity. As ideas run out to the end, you see the logic of where they lead, and people have a chance to rethink. But we've got to help them go beyond anecdotes. You take the sexual revolution. Again and again, I hear people say, well, who am I to quarrel with my sister, my colleague, my neighbor, whatever it is? They don't think root and branch of the whole system. So, you know, we were referring to it earlier, but one of the roots is, and you see this in Wilhelm Reich, the sexual revolution will not win until it overcomes two things, religion, as he puts it, and parents. So you want sex education at free and so on. And when people see the whole of it, the whole of the ideas of the French Revolution's views of freedom and of sex, all these things, surely their eyes are then open. So you've got to seize this teaching moment, as you put it well, but get people to think a lot more deeply than they are now, down to the roots of it. So there's a real choice. Will there be a restoration of 1776? Or we're on the verge of replacement, not because there's been a vote, but simply because people have drifted and neglected it, and we're going a very different way, the sort of way of many other countries.
Well, this is the great battle of our time. And I think that the president doesn't seem to understand these things the way he might. But I think he is he's become this sort of proxy for a lot of the things we're talking about. It's ironic that a thrice divorced philanderer in most of his life, that he, in a way, would come to see the damage of political correctness and a lot of these kinds of things. And I think that's why people respond to him. But most of them, he and they aren't able to articulate it. And I do think it's vital that we articulate it.
No, I solidly agree with that. And I wish you would do that. I don't know him. I've been in almost every White House since the Reagan era when we moved here, and even before that with Jimmy Carter. But I haven't been to the Trump White House, as you have several times.
Well, I can't say
if
that.
If I had a chance, I'd say something to him.
I haven't had a chance to say anything to him either. I hope people don't think that I have, because I look forward to having that opportunity. We'll be right back, folks. We're talking to Oz Guinness. The book is Last Call for Liberty. Last Call for Liberty. Check it out.
Freedom. One nation in all of human history was built on that bedrock. Ours. A republic of the people, by the people, and for the people. Self-government requires freedom. Just as freedom requires an individual willingness to self-govern. Freedom has made America exceptional, but it can only last as long as you and I seek the good, as expressed by the laws of nature and nature's God. It can only last if you and I choose to act as people of character. Forging character has been the pursuit of Hillsdale College since 1844. Hillsdale College forges character and elevates civic discourse both on campus and nationwide. To find out how you can take their free online courses or receive a complimentary subscription to Imprimis, a monthly speech digest, visit hillsdalefreedom.com. That's hillsdalefreedom.com.
Are you interested in trading stocks as a way to generate extra monthly income? Then listen up. Before you waste time or money on another service, you really need to learn about the online trader community that everyone is talking about. This is the group that allows you to trade with their money. That's right. When you complete their training program, Aviary Fund will gladly put up to $100,000 of their own money into your trading account. And the best part? You get to keep up to 85% of the profits without putting in a dime of your own money. Aviary Fund's Trader Development Program is producing seriously amazing results. And as a special offer, today, they are allowing our listeners to get started for free. Just text the word BUZZ to 48542 to join Apiary's trading program now. Learn how to trade using their money, not your own. To get started, just text BUZZ to 48542. That's B-U-Z-Z to 48542 to join the Apiary trading community today. Text BUZZ to 48542. That's BUZZ to 48542.
Half of what I say is meaningless, but I say it just to reach you, Julia. Julia, Julia, ocean child calls me, so I sing the song of love, Julia.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm speaking to my friend Oz Guinness about his wonderful new book, Last Call for Liberty, How America's Genius for Freedom Has Become Its Greatest Threat. Oz, we were talking about the Golden Triangle of Freedom, which you brought into the world as a concept exactly, although you claim the founders understood this. Yes, they did, but you've articulated it, and I've stolen it for use in my book, If You Can Keep It. You talk about it in this book again. There's a subchapter, Virtue Requires Faith. You've got all this stuff in this book. I guess my question is, how do we make that case? What do we do in a culture that doesn't seem to even mention the word virtue? Virtue has become a dirty word by dint of the sexual revolution of the last 50 years, the long march of the institutions. It's not something that's taught in schools. So where do we begin?
Well, virtue has a slightly old-fashioned feel to it. that you take modern notions like, say, trust, and there are lots of books on how trust is basic to politics, where it's broken down, basic to business, basic to families, and all sorts of things. Now, what does trust take? Well, it's you have to have integrity of character, you have to have a respect for truth in words, and you have to have a commitment to keeping promises. I'll see you tomorrow for lunch, Eric, but I don't turn up. Or I promise something to someone else and I don't follow through. Trust is a very, very simple thing, but it actually underlies freedom. So we've got to unpack some of these things and get people thinking in very simple, practical, you know, first principle ways. I've got a chapter on what is freedom. You take the idea, you know, Gertrude Stein, a rose is a rose is a rose. But you can't say that freedom is freedom is freedom, because there are all sorts of things that are fundamental to really understanding a solid freedom. Take, say, Isaiah Berlin's notion. Is it negative or positive or both? Negative freedom is freedom from. No one coerced or constrained by anything or anyone outside themselves is free, whether it's a drug, alcohol, porn, or a bully. But that's only the beginning of freedom, and positive freedom is freedom for, freedom to be, and that, of course, requires truth. And so we've got to get people to thinking first principle, and as you do, you realize one view of freedom leads nowhere. The other view of freedom leads you back to the Bible, to the Torah, to Jesus, and so on. And I'm completely unashamed about going back to the Bible, because so much of our Western civilization depends on it crucially. And if we sever those roots, the cut flower won't last too long.
Well, you've made that point many times in my hearing, and I've, like all good things, I've stolen it and talked about it. A cut flower society, this idea that we can be divorced from our roots and somehow continue, obviously, that's not the case. We have to be connected to our roots. We have to understand everything that you talk about in this book, the founder's view of how it was supposed to work. I'm going to beg you to hang on so we can do a second hour together. So hang on. Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. I hope you will grab a copy of Last Call for Liberty. Study it. Maybe do a book group around it. Couldn't be more important. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Oz, thank you so much.
My privilege.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.